This is WPR News. I'm Jill Najel, and we're talking about a new Midwest Softball League today. With us are Aaron Moore, head coach of the Madison Nightmares, Catherine Reynolds, president and commissioner of the Northwood Softball League, and Samantha Rubin, general manager of the Madison Mallards and Nightmares. Why do you love to attend minor league baseball games? Are you excited to see high-level softball in Wisconsin? Well, give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Thank you all so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You know, even though it's been around for quite a few years now, there are probably a few people listening who are not familiar with the Northwoods League in itself. Catherine, why don't you tell us a bit about it first?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Happy to be with you guys this morning. The Northwoods League started as a baseball league, now in its 31st season, with collegiate baseball teams competing all across the upper Midwest. Like I said, it's in its 31st season, and we are in 7 states and have 1 team in Canada. Excited to be on with Sam and Aaron from Madison, as Madison has led the way in our baseball league for many years now when it comes to attendance and being progressive on the front end of trying all sorts of new things in their ballpark and providing a great fan experience and player experience there in Madison. So that's kind of a broad overview of our baseball league. And then when it comes to softball, it's been in the works for a handful of years to launch sort of a softball counterpart to the long-running Northwoods League baseball. And so we are starting this summer, in less than 2 weeks, which is, feels kind of crazy to say. But we'll have 4 teams in our softball league in our inaugural season. Madison, of course, the Nightmares in town with you. Then Mankato, Minnesota has a team, La Crosse, Wisconsin, and Minot, North Dakota. And all 4 of those locations are towns that also have Northwoods League baseball teams. So they're utilizing the infrastructure that they've strongly put in place over the last number of years when it comes to their stadiums and their front office staff and their, you know, game day marketing, ticketing, all those things that go into making a successful summer collegiate experience. And so we're really excited to have Madison on board. I know Warner Park has undergone some extensive renovations and field improvements and all those types of things. So excited to have people come out for Mallards and Nightmares games in Madison this summer.
Well, great. Thank you. And Samantha, what was your reaction to the thought of the addition of the women's softball?
It was exciting. I mean, I played softball in high school. It's been something that I was excited about. I was an athlete in college, and being a female athlete is something that's been important to me throughout my entire life, not just as an athlete, but then on the back end during my career as well. It's been a huge part of who I am. And so the thought of being able to pursue and to push forward the women's sports movement that's already happening and be a part of that was something I could never have passed up on. I was excited to be a part of it from the front end, and to be a part of something new is always fun and a little scary, but exciting as well. And, you know, it's just been such an excitement to bring something like this to Madison. The community has been really responsive to it. Madison, I think, is a great city to do something like this in. They love their sports. They love their women's sports. And so to be able to bring another opportunity to them has been fun as well.
How does that change your job? Now, all of a sudden you have 2 teams to manage and more games at home.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit more challenging, a little bit more balance, but we have such an amazing team here on the front office staff that a lot of the Mallards employees have been around for years. And so we have such a good foundation here. And now we're just kind of adding additional dates, and we're really focusing on work-life balance this year. That's a huge priority for everyone, but it's been a challenge, that's for sure, but it's been so much fun trying to figure out where time needs to be spent and who needs to be doing what. And it's just been exciting to start something from the ground up. I've always wanted to be a part of something like that, and this is such a cool opportunity to be able to do that.
And Aaron, what were your thoughts when you heard about the addition of the softball to the Northwoods League?
You know, for me, it's something that I felt was a great fit. and kind of would work well together. And just there have been some other college leagues popping up throughout the country, some in the South and more on the East Coast, and just felt like it was a natural connection to, you know, really jump in with teams that are well established and have that great fan base and those cultures already, you know, in place. Kind of just seemed like it was natural. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really excited just to see like how the fans in Madison and the other three cities jump in.
So this is a college team for the softball. What about for the men's side of it now? Are these also collegiate players?
Yeah, so all Northwoods League teams for both baseball and softball are all college players. So they come from all over the country for both teams. We have the baseball side, the Mallards have started already. So we have players from Florida. We have a player from Canada. We have a player from Japan, actually, which is kind of cool. But they're all current college athletes who, you know, are playing for the summer, and we end the baseball season and the softball season in early August. And so once we're done and once they're done here, they go right back to school and they go back to college and then play their seasons there. So everyone across the board will be college students.
That's a really great idea. Now, Aaron, what is your background in softball coaching? Is that where you got your experience?
I originally, you know, started getting some experience on the softball side right out of college with, there used to be a league called National Pro Fast Pitch. And that league existed basically from 2003 until 2019 or so. We had a team in Chicago where I live now in Rosemont. We also had some teams in Texas and some different places throughout the country. So really started on the front office side and the management side of things. And then transitioned into the coaching side about 8 seasons ago.
Now, this is fast pitch softball, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I make sure everybody realizes that it's a little bit different than your normal softball game in the park with your friends, right?
It's real different. We'd love to have you out to get in the batter's box one day.
Oh, golly. That would be interesting. I might take you up on that, though. That might be fun.
Awesome.
Yeah. So Catherine, what's unique about the Northwoods Softball League? How does it compare with other, you know, collegiate summer softball leagues across the country?
Yeah, it's very different from other summer collegiate leagues across the country. Like Aaron mentioned, there are a handful that are out there, but all use very different models from how the Northwoods League operates. And I would say that that's true of our baseball and our softball leagues. So when I say that, I mean that kind of from a player experience standpoint, because what we really want to do in both of our leagues is emulate the next level of the sport to the best of our ability, whether that's, you know, minor league baseball or in the case of softball, you know, there is still a women's pro fast pitch league. There's Athletes Unlimited. And essentially we want to provide as close to a professional experience as possible for these collegiate athletes. And so when they go to these towns, Madison being a perfect example, they're actually playing in front of fans in stadiums where people are coming out to watch them with their friends and their family, or, you know, their group from work that came out to the ballpark for an evening. And that's a lot different from what other leagues have in the country. A lot of them, it's, you know, they'll play at, you know, sort of a, you know, small park or field, play doubleheaders and kind of call it good for the night. And in our case, we really try to be part of the community and invest in these communities. So that's things like being in host families, or our players stay with host families in their local communities, and therefore they build bonds within, in your case, the city of Madison. There's community engagement opportunities, whether it's a camp that's held at the stadium, or the players are doing different things in the community to get involved, volunteering themselves. And so when it comes to player experience and in that way, and community engagement, but also how they travel, stay at hotels, and like I said, emulate both their collegiate experience and then what they would see at the next levels of baseball or softball.
Now, are the experiences the same on both the men's and the women's teams as far as, you know, what do they get paid? Do they have to pay? Where do they stay? How do they eat? That type of thing.
Yeah, the experiences pretty much mirror each other in the two leagues, with the exception of the baseball season being considerably longer. The baseball teams play 72 games. The softball teams will play 42. So like Sam said, they're already well within the swing of their baseball season, and we still have another, you know, week and a half or so before we launch softball. But when it comes to where do they stay, yes, they stay with host families, but our teams do an outstanding job arranging and building community partnerships with families in their towns that want to be involved, or maybe they have a son or daughter who looks up to the athletes on the Northwoods League team in town, and then they get to go watch them at the ballpark every night. So that's how that works. We do not pay them. They pay to play in the league. So it's a nominal fee for the experience that's provided. And then, you know, their travel and most of their meals and all those types of things are provided as well. So, like I said, a small fee is required of the players that play in the league. But for what they get for it, we believe that it's a pretty good deal.
Now, you only have four teams in the softball league right now. Do you plan to expand that?
We do. That's something that we're working on every day, is expanding. And when we talk about expansion, it's an interesting conversation to have, because it's one thing to, try to identify locations. But what you find is that when you go across the country, there's baseball stadiums pretty much everywhere you go in this country. But there aren't softball stadiums, with the exception of looking at a lot of college campuses across the country and in our footprint here in the Midwest. So that's been, something that is interesting, working with some potential different college campuses to potentially utilize their softball facilities. And then looking at other, potential Northwoods League baseball teams that maybe have the infrastructure or the interest in adding softball to their summer slate. Because Sam mentioned that brings a host of other challenges, but I think there's a lot of people in our league who are really passionate about women's sports, just like they are men's sports.
For sure. And how did you choose the four cities that you chose?
Yeah, it's kind of everyone's a little bit different from the next. In some cases it was that it actually, when it comes to La Crosse, Wisconsin, it was their owner, Dan Kopanky, actually a former Wisconsin state senator. He came to the founder of our league with this idea for softball several years ago. And so that location sort of identified itself because he was all in from day one, partially this softball league being his brainchild to an extent. Mankato, all of these facilities that we're utilizing have turf infields. So if they were going to be a baseball and softball dual facility, that was necessary. So in that sense, they sort of selected themselves. And then, also having operators that are some of the best in our league that were highly interested in taking on the challenge of softball and adding 20-ish dates to their summer slate on top of their baseball obligations. So it's kind of a combination of facilities and people and passion that all went together to make those four locations sort of identify themselves.
Okay. Well, we're talking about women's softball today. I'm Jill Nadeau. Our guests are head coach Aaron Moore, general manager Samantha Rubin, and commissioner Catherine Reynolds, all of the Northwood League. Why do you love watching softball? Wondering where you can catch a game near you? Well, give us a call. Lines are open, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show, and we're talking about a new women's fast pitch softball league that's coming to the area. And we'd like to hear from you, 800-642-1234. So, Aaron, Catherine had mentioned that you need turf to convert from baseball to softball. What else? Why turf? Why do we need that?
I think, just from experience, and I know Sam can probably touch on this too, but just the conversion, baseball and softball are different distances and everything that we do. Bases for softball are 60 feet versus the 90 for baseball. Our pitching circle is 43 feet, baseball 60 feet. Their fence is definitely longer. I mean, ours will be around the 200 distance. And without having the grass, the turf, you're playing on a grass surface, kind of changes the game a little bit. For one, it also creates a field maintenance nightmare in some capacities for these teams. It'd be really be a drain on their infields and different things if you had to play on a grass surface. Mm-hmm. And so the turf really provides the opportunity, not only for us on the softball side for the nightmares, but I know that their organization is doing so much and trying to bring in so many different events, and turf really provides you the opportunity to open it up to tournaments and things that you may not be able to host on a natural surface.
So Samantha, what do you have to do between games physically to get ready?
Well, we haven't done it yet, so okay. We'll keep you posted. But right. We know for a fact that we have our portable pitching mound. So like Aaron mentioned, baseball is pitched from a mound. So it's a raised surface, essentially, and softball is pitched from flat ground. So our mound is portable. It comes out in pieces. So that's one thing that's a transition. The bases, like Aaron mentioned, need to get moved up 30 feet in each spot. For each base of the outfield wall, we have a portable outfield wall. It's like a state-of-the-art sort of outfield wall, chain link fence sort of thing on wheels that actually looks really, really nice. And that gets put out for softball and gets taken off for baseball. And same with the backstop. It's actually something that's, I guess, missed a lot when it comes to field dimensions, but the space between home plate and the catcher and the actual wall behind them is significantly longer for baseball than it is for softball. So we have an actual backstop that goes behind the catcher. And so all of those things will need to be done. And we've done it a couple times. And like Aaron mentioned, we're really trying hard to open the field now that we have turf. So turf is new for us. We just got that this year with the addition of softball. It was never actually in our plans, not something we were looking for. But when the opportunity for softball came, that's kind of where the turf conversation, we had to do something. There was no way we could have played on our grass. And so now with that coming in this year as well, we can play youth tournaments now. We had never really had an ability to do that. Being grass, we couldn't move our bases, we couldn't move our mounds. And so when a youth team would want to come out and play, we'd say, like, you either play on a big field or there's not much we can really do. And now we can set a field specifically for ages for both youth baseball and youth softball, which is really cool. So holding tournaments and community days and clinics and all the sorts of things that we want to do to connect to that Madison community is what we're doing right now. So we're planning summer and fall tournaments even, and fall clinics and all these things with our players, both baseball and softball. So we're really trying to expand our footprint in that area.
Catherine, this sounds like it's a big investment for the stadiums. I'm assuming that all the money for it comes from them.
Yeah, Madison has been amazing. And I say that for years past, as well as everything that they're doing now forward looking to include softball. And, I think that's something that's so cool about the ownership group there with the Mallards, and then obviously all the front office staff as well, is that their ability to see an opportunity and then find a way to make it happen when it comes to the resources that are involved to do so. And like Sam mentioned, it was not necessarily in their plans, but then it came around to a point where they felt like this was an opportunity that, yes, it allows them to add Northwoods League softball, but it also allows them to continue to be the community partner that the Mallards and the Nightmares want to be when that comes to opening up Warner Park to youth groups and youth baseball, youth softball, and whatever else events may take place over at Warner Park. So, they have been amazingly resourceful, and credit to, Steve Schmidt and the rest of the ownership group over there.
Aaron, that brings up to me, where do you practice if you've got to move everything around on the field?
For us, practice won't be an issue, really. We'll be able to still use the facility and the turf and get out there and get our workouts in without having to do too much, transition, I guess, to the field. As long as we can throw the bases down, we'll be able to get a workout in. Our season is really compact. We're only playing, we're playing 42 games in about 60 days. So, and, there are some definite travel as well. So, practices are going to be a little bit limited. So when we do have those opportunities, I think it won't be an issue to really get the work in.
Well, what's it like for you coming to this brand new team? They probably haven't played together. You haven't coached them. How do you build a team like that?
I'm excited. I mean, I can't wait. We have a great group. Our roster is complete. We have 16 players that are ready and excited to come in. 11 of them are from the state of Wisconsin. We have players that, are from junior college all the way up to, a couple kids who are coming to us from University of Wisconsin. So, it's really, really exciting. They're excited to get going. And I think the great part about this team and this league is these players are coming for different reasons. Some of them are trying to build their resume to go to a four-year school. Some of them are you know, maybe didn't play as much in their this last year in college and really want to build their resumes, you know, and some had a maybe a coming off an injury and really need to get some work in. So I think the dynamic of what we have, these players seem ready to go. You know, for us, we're going to get going on Monday with practice. I think it's super important for, you know, female athletes. They like that time to bond a little bit. I know it's so different on the baseball side. I think they showed up one day. It was kind of a show and go mentality. You know, in softball, it's going to be important for us to kind of develop that relationships a little bit.
That really surprises me that they just come and play together.
It's tough because the timing of the season is really hard. So actually the baseball college World Series is still going on. So we still have players that aren't here yet because they're still with their teams that are playing actively in the college World Series. And so for baseball, it's a little bit tougher. You know, we have a roster that's structured a little bit differently because we know that some of our players are going to be playing until mid to late June if they make it all the way to the finals of the World Series. And so half of our team showed up on opening day and got their numbers and we went from there. But baseball is an ever-changing roster, that's for sure. But I think softball will be a little bit different. I'm excited to see how softball and baseball, they're so similar in a sport, but they're so drastically different. The way they're played and the mechanic, everything is just a little bit different. And I'm excited, especially to see like how the players react and how different the players are and how that's going to kind of show through on the field and off the field as well.
Well, we had a call from Paul in Madison who couldn't stay, but he said that there's a challenge going around called the 999 challenge, where you eat 9 hot dogs and drink 9 beers in 9 innings. Have you heard about that?
Someone told me about
did you start that promo?
No, that wasn't us. That wasn't me. Someone told me about this, that they found someone that on our opening day last week for the Mallards that wanted to come out and do that. And I thought they were kidding. But, I mean, I've seen little things about it, but not here. But, I mean, I think that just goes to show, like, the kind of atmosphere that not just we're trying to push, but on the Mallard side. But that's not the goal for the Nightmares, but the goal is for people to come out and have fun, right? Like, that's the whole point, is to come out and have a good time with your family and friends. And I think that's what's so cool and different about this league, is that this league for both baseball and softball is so fan focused. And that is like the number one priority, or a number one priority for us on both teams, on both sides. And that's the whole goal for us, is that if the Madison community can come and rally behind it and have a good time and want to have 9 beers and 9 hot dogs and 9 innings for a baseball game, like, so be it. But that's
don't drive
point.
Home. That's all right.
Yes,
just don't drive home.
Uber, taxis, there's lots of options. But but that's the fun of it, is we want to create a fun atmosphere for both teams. And that's what's cool about the softball league, is that no one's really done that before. And so we want to be on the forefront of not only this really high level softball team on the field that can play competitively with high level athletes, but can create a softball experience that's different than any other that exists right now.
Hey, Aaron, how do you feel about that as a coach? You know, you want to be serious and win, I'm assuming, but then you also have this other side of this sporting event.
You know, without the fans, and, you know, coming from working in the professional league, you know, I sat in Sam's shoes in a different role for a different team for years. And, you know, our number one goal at the end of the day was, you know, for the fans to leave and have a great time. You know, the goal of the players and the coaches was to win the games. The goal for everyone in the front office, from, you know, from the GM down to the ticket salesperson, was to make sure those fans had an experience that they're going to remember. And I think if you're able to provide both of those, it's a win-win for everybody. And for us on the softball, that's what we're also going to try to do.
Sure. Catherine, have you found that the standings of the teams on the men's side, because that's the only example we have right now, does that matter to attendance a lot? Or do they just come out to have a good time no matter what?
They come out to have a good time no matter what. You know, it certainly helps when your team is winning games and, you know, then you make a run in the playoffs and all those types of things. But I'll give you a really good example is our baseball team in Bismarck, North Dakota. They sell out pretty much every single evening. And You know, without calling anybody out as far as their win and loss record, there would be more in the L column than the W column. but that speaks to what they've created there with their fan environment, and people want to come out and, like Sam said, have a good time together. And so, yeah, I mean, it certainly helps to win. Everyone likes seeing teams win. But then, you know, there's also something to be said for lovable losers if they're having a good time at the ballpark.
Very diplomatic of you, by the way. And just for those who aren't clear, like, we've got four softball teams, but the Northwood League, there's a lot of teams involved. How many are there, Catherine?
Yeah, there are 26. 25 of those have their own home ballpark. I know that sounds a little quirky, but the 26th is actually a traveling team. They're called the Minnesota Mud Puppies. They don't have a home ballpark, but they play their entire summer schedule on the road. So there are 26 teams, but 25 of those have their own, you know, home set up within that.
And then there's leagues, right? Four leagues or four divisions. Is that
the
word?
Okay. Yeah, four divisions. Mm-hmm. We're split into, we call it Great Plains, which is the western side, and then the Great Lakes. And there's an east and west within each of those.
Okay. All right. So, Samantha, tell us a little bit more about how you chose the name The Nightmares. And just so people who are listening, it's Night, N-I-G-H-T, and then a separate word, M-A-R-E-S. How did you get to that naming of them?
Yeah, so we actually opened it up to the Madison community. That from the start and from the get-go, we wanted to make sure that everyone in the Madison area was interested and wanted to kind of buy in to the team. And the best way to do that is to let them tell us what we should name our team. And so we actually ran this whole campaign that was Name Your Team, and it was all about the fans and all about the community. And so we collected, probably close to 1,000 names, maybe even more than that, of people submitting names and giving us their input of what we should be. And as a front office staff, we all kind of sat around and narrowed it down to the top 16, I believe. And this was all right before March Madness. So this was late February-ish time. And once we got to the top 16, we did a March Madness bracket style. And so people were actually voting. And so throughout the process, I think we got close to, like 10 or 12, maybe 15,000 like votes and submissions. And there were tons of people that were really interested in wanting to be a part of it. And so it wasn't really up to us. It was up to them. And we wanted to hear from them. We took a lot of input from them. And we did have a few front office staff put in some names in that top 16 as well. But we really wanted to make sure that the Madison community was a part of this whole process. And so all these names really came from them.
So Nightmares came out on top, basically got the most
Nightmares
votes.
Came out on top. Yeah, okay. It was awesome. It was really cool to see. I wouldn't tell anyone my favorite throughout the whole process because, like, it wasn't me. I didn't rig it. It wasn't my thing. Like, this was all for everyone else. And so no one really knew what I wanted, and I still haven't told people what I wanted, but I'm really happy with where we landed. I'm so excited that the brand has been accepted so many places. They love the name, and I think the vibe that we want to put out is women empowerment, right? Is female sports and female athletes, and that was a huge priority for us. So whatever name we chose, and again, that top 16 really fit what we were trying to do, was fitting that atmosphere that we want to create of this young girl coming to a softball team or a softball game that sits down and says, I want to play for that team one day. And that was a huge priority for us. And we've done a great job of cultivating that on the Mallard side. And so now doing the same thing for the Nightmares is creating that bond with the youth softball community and getting the buy-in from them as well. And so I'm super happy with where we landed. The brand and the logo came out so cool. And we're just really happy with what we ended up with. So it's definitely a play on words, I think, is we're trying to figure out like how it works. But it's been so fun to see merch come in and jerseys. We just got our on-field jerseys. Those just came in. And working with partners around the Madison community as well and giving them the rundown. It's just been a really fun time.
And it really is a very nicely done logo. Colors are very nice.
Yeah.
So where can people go to take a look at it, Sam?
Yeah. So MadisonNightmares.com is our website. And we have tickets, we have merchandise, we have promotional schedules, we have we actually announced our mascot is a live mini horse, and we did a name the horse or name the mascot contest as well. And her name is Midnight, and so that's been announced as well. And Midnight will be at every game, and we're trying to figure out a way how Midnight can lead the team out onto the field. And that's the whole point, is everything comes back to fan experience and everything comes back to fun, right? That's the biggest thing for us. And so with this mini horse, we think that we can provide that fun and that experience and that atmosphere that we're trying to create.
And what's your relationship to the mini horse, Aaron?
I love it. I mean, I'm telling you, my wife is pumped to come to games, and you know, she wants to be, she even asked if she can be the mascot handler the other day. So, I think for us, it's awesome. And you know, the names in the league, both on the softball and baseball side, are awesome, and they're just fun. And I can't wait to add some hats to my collection during the year.
Right. You know, Samantha just mentioned about, you know, girls coming out and seeing themselves maybe wanting to play there. What advice do you have for younger girls who are softball players that want to go further than just high school?
Dream, work. You know, I think those are just some of the biggest ones. You know, I think we're right now at this great time in women's sports, and, you know, we worked really hard for years and years to make things happen and just didn't have some of the right backing and some of the right things in place, unfortunately. But, you know, to see the steps that the WNBA is taking, and, you know, the PWHL, the Hockey League, you know, just some of those big things. And, you know, the Women's College World Series on the softball side, you know, continues to draw, you know, some of the biggest numbers on ESPN year after year. So I think right now just it's getting there, and, you know, people are excited, you know, dads are excited and moms are excited to take their kids to games, which, you know, before we kind of fought some of those stereotypes a little bit. And, you know, now I think some of those are gone. And I think these teams and this opportunity just gives one more avenue for players to really, you know, think about what could happen if they keep working. And I think it's awesome too, that like we said earlier, we have players from so many different levels that you're going to be able to see that it's okay to go to a Division III school or a JUCO, and you still have great opportunities and you can still be a great player.
For sure. Catherine, your timing on this is like perfect, right? I mean, all of a sudden we're finally getting the recognition for women's sports that has been lacking in the past. You've got to be excited about that.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the thing that Aaron kind of touched on this, but you actually looking at some of the viewership and attendance numbers for the softball Women's College World Series over the last handful of years, they've outdrawn the viewership of the baseball College World Series on the ESPN networks for years, actually. And so there's some things, you know, that have kind of, I think there's been kind of, you know, tremors for a while, and now it's really just taken on kind of a whole life of its own. A lot of that due to, you know, women's basketball and some of it, some different stars that have popped up actually, you know, at the Women's College World Series in softball. But you're right. You know, we feel really fortunate to be launching this at a time where women's sports is headline news pretty much every day. You know, and especially a lot of that's been right here in the Midwest. You know, Sam and I have talked about that before, how whether it's, you know, Wisconsin Badger women's hockey or Nebraska volleyball or Iowa women's basketball, a lot of this stuff's happening right here in the Midwest. And so I think it's a really cool time to capitalize on that. And we're really excited to be one of the many people that are providing more opportunities for women in sports.
For sure. So Aaron, how do you, or I want to go a little bit different here. What should people be looking for when they watch a women's fast-pitch softball game? And what are the differences, the nuances compared to baseball?
You know, I grew up being a baseball person. So for me, it's, you know, it's finding some of the unique things. I think baseball has done a great job in just speeding up their game, but softball has always been fast. And I think that's the thing that sets softball apart from baseball is, you know, our game is played at a level where it's just quicker and, you know, faster than what people expect to see. And I think when people come out, they get a real appreciation for, you know, one, how hard the pitchers are throwing, you know, two, how fast people can go 60 feet, you know, three, how you have to get rid of the ball really quick, you know, and just everything is played at a level where fast is the game. And, you know, fast pitch is such a perfect word for the sport, because if you're not playing fast, you're probably gonna not winning a lot. And, you know, I would love for our team this year and the roster we have put together is going to be able to provide a lot of speed and athleticism that, you know, I think our goal, you know, from coaches to players, we've been talking about just how fast we can play. And I think that will really help the fans that come out. I think we'll really see that excitement.
Now, to select your roster, did you have a bunch of names people submit to the league in general, or how did that work?
I think it's been a little bit of, you know, a lot of different things. You know, first, you know, I know players were submitting their names with interest, and, you know, word of mouth started to get bigger, and, you know, people are reaching out. You know, sometimes it's using connections that you might have within the you know, softball community. But, you know, it's been interesting to see. And I really do think that with this first year, the number of players that want to play next year is going to be way higher. You know, we've had a lot of players, unfortunately, who haven't been able to play because they already took internships or jobs or some things. And I think with the excitement, if they know more in advance of what the possibilities are, you know, there's no reason why that the league, if, you know, owners are in place, wouldn't be able to field, you know, 6 to 8 to 10 teams without a problem.
Catherine, are you hoping to expand next year? What's your growth thoughts?
Yes, we are hoping to expand next year. Had interest in conversations with quite a few different potential locations. You know, a lot of parties that come into play, though, when you're trying to do that, and making sure that not only that we grow, you know, quickly, but also geographically appropriate. You know, so when I say that, you know, you hear we have a team in Minot, North Dakota. And so, you know, when you think about stretching east and west and really filling up the map in between there and finding locations that ensure that our athletes have a good experience, you know, traveling from Madison to Minot, those, you know, those will be long trips, like Aaron mentioned. So when we look about expanding, we want to do that in a geographic locations that make sense for our coaches and players, and also that in communities like Madison, where people will want to come out and support. So yes, we have plans to expand in 2025 and beyond.
Oh, that's wonderful. We're talking with about the newly formed Northwoods League Softball League today and the Madison Nightmares. This is the Larry Mueller Show on WPR. And you're listening to the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nagel, and there's still plenty of time to join in our conversation about softball. Comment, question, I'm sure there's fans out there, so we really like to hear from you. The number 800-642-1234, or you can send an email, and that's talk@wpr.org. So Samantha, tell us a little bit about some of the events that you have scheduled. You always have such great special events for people who come out.
Yeah, I mean, a huge thing that we have is, I mean, our opening day. It's our inaugural game. That's a huge thing for us. It's on Father's Day, so June 16th, and we're doing an actual commemorative ball giveaway for the first, I think it's either 500 or 1,000 people through the gates. And it's going to be cool. So then once you get your ball, you're able, like, dads and kids, families, daughters, whatever it may be, can go on the field and play catch pregame. And so that's something that we're really excited to be able to have, especially since it's on Father's Day. It kind of hits that perfect, quote unquote, girl dad sort of thing, which is really fun, which is obviously a big piece of what we're trying to do is the youth softball community. And so that's something. Of course, I mean, Midnight will be at all of our games, our mascot, our mini horse. So that in and of itself is a huge thing. We're going to do the world's largest horseshoe. So we actually have the world's largest horseshoe that was made for us, with our logo in it. And we're going to have fans come out and sign it. And then we're doing a little commemorative horseshoe. I think it's a keychain sort of thing as well. So trying to get our stamp our mark out there. I mean, Pride Night is a huge thing for us here in Madison, both baseball and softball specifically. And we're going to do a Pride Night here, and we have Pride jerseys that are coming in. That's exciting. And so we're doing a ton right now. We're in the midst of planning. More so executing at this point, but we've spent the past probably 6 months trying to come up with the coolest promotions that we can to focus on that fun. And that's kind of the way that we get there. So those are just a few of our big ones, but our whole promo schedule that's actually been announced is on our website. So madisonnightmares.com, where they can check it out. We have season tickets and flex plans and all the things that are up there right now.
And this is a very affordable thing to do with a family, isn't
it? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole premise of this entire business for both sides, is affordable family fun. And, you know, we want people to be able to come out here and, you know, things aren't cheap anymore, but we want to make sure that we're still a nice semi-cheap or cheaper option, right, than doing some other things. And we certainly are. We have a huge kid zone that we basically call like the best free babysitter, quote unquote, in Madison. We have an inflatable zip line. We have carnival games. We have obstacle courses and speed pitches and runs and all the things. So we have all the kids stuff that can come out and play. And again, it's all family friendly and it's all affordable. And that's the whole point. And that's the whole, that's why we do this, right? Is to be able to see a kid eating an ice cream cone and have a huge smile on their face, right? Like that's the whole reason why you work these grueling hours and you work these long days. And last night our game was rained out for the Mallards. And like I was running around just sopping wet from head to toe, but like, that's why you do it. It's like, you do it for the kids, you do it for the families, and you do it for the experience that these people can walk away and have lifelong memories from. And that's the goal.
But I thought Mallards liked water.
Oh, you would think. Yeah. Unfortunately, baseball does not like water.
No. But I do have a question, though. Last time I was out there, it was really hot, and the sun was shining right in my face. And are you guys going to do anything about, like, covering of the stadium at all? Is that in your plans?
Oh, man, I wish. we have a lot of dreams, I can tell you that. A dome being one of them. Not super realistic, but that would be really great. No, we have some shade in the stadium. We have certain areas that get shaded pretty quickly. And so we do have kind of a covering over a portion of our grandstand. It's definitely not the whole thing. But, we have some stuff. And, you know, the nice thing is that we try to time our games accordingly. So most of our games are at 6 o'clock. And so the sun will set shortly after that, which is nice. But and summer nights, I'm from Florida originally. So I'm loving the summers up here. It's awesome. The winters are a different story, but I mean, summers up here are something else. And to be able to sit on a nice summer night here in Madison and watch the sunset and watch baseball or softball and kind of have the whole experience is kind of your perfect night, honestly.
Absolutely. So Aaron, what are you going to be doing when the season's over then?
that's a great question. So currently I'm an assistant coach at a college here in the city.
Uh-huh.
And just, you know, I'm hoping that this season kind of brings a lot of opportunities, really. I mean, it's exciting and, you know, hopefully we'll open up some other doors.
Okay. Catherine, what are your hopes for this new league?
Yeah, I think that's a big question and a good question. Our hopes are that everybody that's involved wants to come back to the ballpark after their first experience. And when I say that, I mean the families and fans that come out, but I also mean the players that play and the coaches that coach. So, you know, I think a successful season would look like Aaron wanting to come back for year two in Madison and as many of his players that are still eligible for, you know, with collegiate eligibility to want to come back and play another season in Madison because of the experience that they had that Sam and her team worked so diligently to provide for them. You know, so I think, you know, from a very practical standpoint, that's what it looks like for us to be successful this year, is that people walk away having had a great experience, and that's with all stakeholders involved. And then that allows us to grow in the future as other locations see what happens in the summer of 2024 and want to be a part of it in 2025 and beyond.
Aaron, what would you consider a successful season?
Oh man, that's a great question. I mean, ultimately as athletes and competitors, as coaches, you know, with there being four teams, you want to come out on top. I mean, I think anything short of that, sometimes when you're looking at it, might be a disappointment, but, you know, for me as a coach, I want to provide an opportunity for these young female strong women athletes to, you know, go to their seasons in the fall at their colleges, you know, ready to go, excited about the game, you know, ready to step in and really make an impact on those college programs. For me, that would be a huge victory for us. But I think winning is ultimately the, you know, a big part as well.
You sound like a good coach. Now, we always talk, we think physically, you know, when we're talking about a sport and being in shape and whatnot, but what's the mental readiness aspect of playing women's softball, Aaron?
That's another great question, Jill. I think you're loading them up today, which is awesome. you know, I think over the last, since I started in working in sports 20 years ago, mental health, mental aspects of things really weren't talked about. They were maybe like, you know, once in a while type thing. And now it's something that's really a big part of sports, and, you know, both on the male and female side. And, you know, I think being able to provide that atmosphere, resources that, you know, that can be available, and just doing our best on as coaches and front office and, you know, additional teammates to provide the support that they need is going to be huge for the summer. You know, we do have some players that are coming, you know, we have a player coming from Utah, you know, so it's going to be a big trip for her, and just, you know, providing the support. And, you know, these guys are gonna be away from home again. You know, some of them were away from home all year. Now they're away from home for the summer. So, you know, just providing them those resources, you know, someone to talk to, is going to be a huge part. You know, I really do believe if you're mentally happy and mentally there, you play better. So, you know, I think Sam and her team have just been awesome. I mean, they've done everything so right, which is exciting to see. And it's, I think that's going to provide a great stepping stone for our players.
Catherine, is that true as far as the men's and women's sides? Is how do you help the players feel comfortable mentally as well as physically?
Yeah, I think that's something that our teams take very seriously. And then, like Aaron said earlier in this call, you know, men athletes and women athletes are different, and every individual within each of those is different. So I think that's where, you know, coaching is so important. I actually come from a coaching background myself, but just in a different sport. And I completely agree with him. You know, when you feel good, that's when you can be your best in all aspects of your life. And so I think that's something that our coaches in our front office take very seriously and do a great job of, and then, you know, keep us apprised of if necessary.
And as far as people wanting to learn more about the Northwoods League, where should they go first?
Yeah, I know Sam mentioned their specific website a couple of different times, madisonnightmares.com. The northwoodsleague.com is our website. There's a whole host of information on there, as well as links to each of our softball and baseball teams, information about our broadcast schedule. You know, we've got our own streaming platform that I like to mention. All of our games are free on there, and we also have partnerships with ESPN, Women's Sports Network, and a FAST channel on LG. So if you own an LG TV, check us out on there, Northwoods League Sports Network.
So you can actually watch, not have to go out to the park. You can actually watch them.
Well, you should. Option one is always to go to the park. But
sure.
Yes, if you can't make it out, or if you're, you know, from a further distance.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a wide variety of options for streaming games live.
Okay. And so last words, Aaron, what are you looking forward to most?
You know, I'm just looking forward to getting on the field, you know, in front of the great fans in Madison. You know, I've tuned into some baseball games already, and just seeing the full house there has been awesome. One of my good friends, she coaches at Madison at UW too, and just the support they get, and, you know, seeing it from, you know, all the sports there, from football to hockey, softball, basketball. You know, I'm just hoping that those fans come out, give these players the recognition and chance they deserve, and I think that they'll be happy and, you know, would be repeat customers.
Okay. And Samantha?
Come out to some Nightmares game. No, we're excited to have, I mean, this whole level of sport, baseball, softball, minor league, whatever the case is, this whole level of sport is all supported by fans. There's no, in the community, that, like, we would not be here today with a successful Mallards team if it wasn't for the Madison community, and same thing with the Nightmare. So, I mean, it's all about getting some support from Madison, and so far it's been awesome, and hopefully we'll see everyone this season and opening day, our inaugural game, and just have a really great summer.
Okay. And Catherine, let's go down the list one more time of the four softball teams that are playing in the state, or actually in this league.
Yes, we've got the Madison Nightmares in Madison, Wisconsin, the Lacrosse Scene in Lacrosse, Wisconsin, Mankato Habaneros in Mankato, Minnesota, and the Minot Honeybees in Minot, North Dakota.
All right, great. Thank you all for being with us, and we'll be back right after the news.